Greetings to each of you this morning in the name of Jesus. We greet you in his name. We welcome him here. We believe the presence of God is here with us and presiding over our worship. We desire our worship to be acceptable to him. And we by faith believe that he hears, and God in heaven is honored and glorified as we worship together. I've enjoyed the service, the message that I have prepared for this morning. When I looked at our Sunday school lesson, I looked at it after I prepared this message and thought, oh, wow, okay, we're continuing some of our theme. So, Holy Spirit directs. I've been asked to share this message at another congregation this evening. I thought I would share it here this morning. Maybe to start out, before I give you the title, just to get our minds thinking a little bit. Maybe you're different than I am, and I know you are. But when I go to the store, my wife sends me to the store to buy some milk or some eggs or something. Periodically, I will find myself getting a jug of milk that is not the first one in the row. I don't know if you're like that or not, but I might reach behind and get another one back further. Why? I don't know. It's fresher, maybe. Maybe it's not dirty on the front. I might get a dozen of eggs that's back a little bit. Maybe the lettuce head I get will be one that's underneath. It's not the one right on the top. Some time ago, we came home. We had bought some chicken tenders or something somewhere. And we come home, and we were getting ready to put them into the freezer, and my wife noticed that one of them was slit open. And instantly, when did that happen? Did we buy it that way? Or did something happen? And instantly, you think about, well, is this still good? How would you feel about getting a bottle of pills from the store and the safety seal on the top was broken? How you feel about that? Maybe some of you say, well, it's not a problem. And maybe some of you would say, definitely not. How would you feel about going across a bridge? Maybe Delaware Memorial or George Washington Bridge, and there would be a sign that says, beware, this has not passed the safety test. The safety inspection did not pass on this bridge. How would you feel about crossing the bridge? So what we're looking at here, and just getting our minds thinking a little bit, what I was asked to speak on this evening is the title, Integrity in Life. Integrity in Life. Now that's a really broad, that has a real broad panoramic view, if you will. But I think it's good for us to think about this and to do a safety test or to do a test on our life. So we look at integrity in life. And maybe just for some text verses from Proverbs, you could turn with me to Proverbs 11 and verse 3. Just to look at some verses. At the outstart of our discussion. That'd be good for us to read, to start reading at verse 1 of Proverbs 11. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Verse 3, text verse, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. It's another verse in Proverbs 10 and verse 9, just another page over. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Proverbs 19 and verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Integrity in life. Integrity in this verse here in Proverbs 11 and verse 3 in the Hebrew means innocence, defined as innocent, innocence. Integrity is contrasted with perverseness in this verse. And perverseness is defined as distortion or viciousness, deceit. So think with me a little bit about a puzzle that you have. So I do enjoy putting puzzles together, but I haven't done it for years. But when you get a puzzle, maybe it's a 1,000-piece puzzle, and you look at the box, you dump it out on your card table or your kitchen table, and there's distortion. There's puzzle pieces everywhere. But as you work at it and as you put the puzzle together, you get a picture that is complete. So the picture is unclear in one, it's distorted, and the other, the picture is complete. I see two foundational principles in this verse. Foundational principles. What's a foundation? It's a baseline. It's something solid that holds up a structure. The person who holds to morally upright principles will experience guidance for life. And number two is the opposite. The person who has a distorted, deceitful value system will experience destruction. Life will be difficult for them. I remember a few years ago shopping at a local discount store, not here in this area. It's before we moved, I think. And hanging by the register where you would pay your bill was a list of names of individuals who were not allowed to pay by check. Apparently, they had written a check one too many times that was not backed up with available funds, and we call that a bouncing check. But there was the list of names. And I wondered about that as I shopped there. Like, should we do that as Christians? I'll leave that with you. But there was the list of names. I'd like to look more directly now, just for a moment, at the definition of this word, integrity, as we use it today. Integrity in the Old Testament is defined, the word integrity means the condition of being without blemish, completeness, perfection, sincerity, soundness, and uprightness. That's a lot of words there. But that's what integrity in the Old Testament was defined as. You get the picture of something solid and sincere, and it's a solid bridge. It passed the inspection. It's good to drive over. It's good to go across. The New Testament definition of this word is the idea of honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. Now, defining integrity just a little bit more, firm adherence to a code of especially moral or artistic values. One word for that would be incorruptibility. It's incorruptible. It's a firm adherence to moral values. An unimpaired condition. A word for that is soundness. It's an unimpaired condition. It's soundness. I had a co-worker come to work on Friday morning, and he parked his car not where the employees are supposed to park their car. He parked it right outside the showroom. Well, it was obvious when he got out of his car. I didn't see it at that point. Someone else told me before I was getting into the office. Commented about him parking out front. He said, if you see him walking, you don't understand. And saw him later, and he could hardly walk. He was watching a baseball game or something at his son's baseball game, and it just flew in his back. Well, he wasn't perfectly sound anymore in his back. The quality or state of being complete or undivided, and that means completeness, integrity. A quote, honesty is telling the truth to other people. Integrity is telling the truth to myself. Honesty is telling the truth to other people. Integrity is telling the truth to myself. The foundation of an honest life begins by a thought life of integrity. As I contemplated how to study this, I wasn't sure how to go about it. But the Lord gave me three main points. And I'd like to look at them this morning. I'd like to look at integrity in thought, integrity in word, and integrity indeed. And we'll look at this sort of in a broad brush approach. Integrity in thought, main point number one. And these are pretty elementary. But for a man or a woman to live right, to live a righteous life, he will first need to think right. He first must think right. And what are some foundational pillars for integrity in thought? Integrity in thought. Number one, a foundational pillar for integrity in my thoughts is that I believe in God and hold His word as supreme authority in my life. I believe in God and hold His word supreme authority in my life. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Integrity in thought. I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe that there is a God that I am responsible to. I am under His control. I believe in His authority in my life, and His word is supreme authority in my life. Psalm 119:11 says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I may not cheat my neighbor. No, that I may not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart. When there's a crime committed, often they will say, we have yet to find out the motive. What is a motive? A motive is a thought. It is a reason for. Integrity in thought. Do you believe in God and His Word as supreme authority in your life? His laws, His promises. Number two, integrity in thought. I just simply have it labeled an humble disposition. An humble disposition. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. An humble disposition of myself is a foundational pillar of integrity. Humble disposition of myself. Humility seeks the good of others and is ready to serve the other. You could think of words that are the opposite of humility. We think of pride. A shrewd person is hardly an humble person. Someone who is shrewd. For shrewdness seeks to take from the other to bring gain to myself. Shrewd, being shrewd. I worked with people in sales for 25 years now. And yeah, we face this thing in dealing with people. Humility. Are you an humble person? Number three, looking at integrity in thought. Listening to and maintaining a healthy conscience. We're thinking of integrity in thought. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. When we violate our conscience by not obeying its voice, we lower the threshold of resistance when we are faced with future tests. I'll give it again. When we violate our conscience by not obeying its voice, we lower the threshold of resistance when we are faced with future tests. When we break our conscience voice, it will make it easier to break that voice again. It will make it easier. And there's a whole sermon we could preach on the conscience, and I'm not planning to do that. It's not my subject. Acts 24, verse 16, Paul states, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. A healthy conscience is built by understanding principles of right and wrong and reflecting on one's actions, taking responsibility for wrongdoing and seeking forgiveness. In other words, we understand. It's a healthy conscience is built by understanding principles of right and wrong. That's why we, parents, it's important as we train our children that we teach them right and wrong. And when there has been wrong committed, it needs to be addressed and righted. And it teaches a conscience that understands how to walk. the path of right living. Sometimes a person develops an oversensitive conscience to the point that self-criticism makes it difficult for them to enjoy life. Sometimes, and this thing of integrity in life, I think maybe we fall on the ditch on the other side sometimes when we aren't thinking as soberly or as seriously as we should be about if what I'm doing is an honor or integrity, part of integrity. I think we probably fall on that ditch. We don't think about it enough than we do about on the, then we fall in the ditch on the other side where we're just overly concerned that we're doing something wrong. But there are individuals who do struggle with that very much. And I recognize that as I preach this message. That's another message in itself. On Friday, it happened. A customer called me, and he had sent a purchase order over for a few small fittings, and we go and we pull them off the bin, pull them out of the bin, we put them on the shelf for pickup. And he called me a little bit later, and he asked me if I got the PO and if those parts are ready for pickup. And I told him, yes, you can come pick them up. They're ready. And after I told him that, I mean, I don't know if I said they're ready, but I said, yes, you can come pick them up. But after I told him that, my conscience was like, well, they're not really ready. You don't have them pulled. They're not in the pickup bin. Well, yeah, I just have to walk 30 feet and get them and put them in the bin. I mean, they're ready. So you can sort of get hung up sometimes. But I think we err more not thinking enough. And in life there are those things. But our goal and our intention must be to be honest and not to be misleading. Perhaps the majority of individuals struggle with a conscience that is not sensitive enough. Inner peace and joy is experienced when one is not burdened with guilt and condemnation. Proverbs 4, verse 22, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Joseph is an example of one who maintained and heeded the voice of inner conscience. If Joseph would have been thinking about and in his thought life he was musing and meditating on adulterous relationships and the fantasy of what he was tempted with, do you think he would have stayed firm? Probably not. Genesis 39 and verse 9, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God, is what Joseph said. Young men, young women, old men, old women, young boys, integrity in thought is foundational to living a morally upright life. It's where the battle is. We could say more on that. We'll move on to main point number two, integrity in word. Matthew 5 and verse 37, Jesus is teaching. He says, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Jesus is teaching the principle of integrity in word, honesty. Our yes should mean yes, and our no should mean no. And does your verbal commitment result in an honest keeping of your commitment? If you say you're going to do this, will you do this? If you say no, does it mean no? You know, there are still around individuals who the handshake over the fence line is a done deal. But that is really not the real normal anymore. It's not as normal anymore. Where a man's word is just is solid. Yes, it must be among us as Christians, but you know there are tests there too. Our commitments can be either verbal or written. And do you stand by the quote you gave your customer, even though you missed a detail to your expense? There's the long list of stories of customers. When I say long list, I mean that's one of the things that comes up in business. A customer is given a quote for a job and then, oh, I missed a detail. I missed a detail. Do I stand by my word? Do you stand by your word? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 5, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Better is it that you didn't get your car fixed than that you got your car fixed and you said you were going to pay the bill and you didn't. Or whatever. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. The guidepost of integrity in speech is to fear thou God. To fear thou God. Lying is sin. We saw that in our Sunday school lesson. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Lying is a serious problem that controls the individual given to it. Sometimes people fall into the trap of thinking that lying is okay. If the other person doesn't know, he is being deceived or cheated. He doesn't know it. It's fine. Individuals have stood before the nation and have talked about how lying can be okay. A friend of mine told me recently that his wife's grandfather, this happened just very recently, his wife's grandfather was the victim of a scam. And we know there are lots of scams around today. And grandfather lost $50,000 to individuals who lied to him, claiming they were working in his favor. They claimed that there was somebody, that there was people who were tracking him, and they are here, they're working in his behalf to secure his financial savings account. And he was not to tell it to his friends or his relatives because that would put them in jeopardy as well. So Grandpa didn't say anything. There were individuals who talked to Grandpa and they thought he was acting different. But Grandpa didn't say anything, because after all, he's not supposed to. They told him, okay, so what we want you to do now, we want you to buy gold. We want you to put this $50,000 worth into gold. And we're going to send a courier to your house to pick up the gold so we can put it in a secure location for you so it doesn't get, so you don't lose it. The courier came. The courier got the gold and took the gold. Sometime later, one of the relatives, I think it was a niece, was there at Grandpa's house, and a phone call came. And the phone call came, and they were now trying to go after his retirement fund. And The niece said, wait a minute. I mean, in my own words, what's going on? And then it was revealed that Grandpa was being scammed. He just lost $50,000 worth. I mean, it's gold that they came and got, and it's gone. Lied to. And we say that that is out there, yes, scammed. And it's happening. And we need to be aware of these things. But that should never happen within church community in any shape or form. Ananias and Sapphira, we talked about them this morning. I have that in my notes. We will not look at that. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. William Bennett said, shame is synonymous with conscience. If you have no sense of shame, it means you have no sense of wrongdoing. Shame is synonymous with conscience. If you have no sense of shame, it means you have no sense of wrongdoing. Do you live a life? Do I live a life of integrity and word? Do I hide the truth about the imperfections of the item that I am selling while I highlight the imperfections in what others are selling in an effort for personal gain on myself? You know, what I am selling, yes, everything is good, but it doesn't work. And I'm buying it from you. Nothing works, but it's really good. And it, you know what I mean? Just distorting the facts. I worked somewhere one time where we painted the haybine with diesel. We sprayed the haybine with diesel fuel so it looked shinier so it would sell better. One time there was a little boy who exaggerated to his friends about the snow house that they built. And this snow house was elaborate, I tell you. It had a wood stove inside, and it was really elaborate. It was better than the other friend's snow house that they built. And then there was a dad that heard the story and said, what? And there was a talking to. I was that little boy. Don't remember exactly if there was more than a talking to or not, but it was pretty scary, I know that. And I learned something at that point. Integrity indeed, last point. Integrity indeed. Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer, provides overcoming power to live a life of integrity, a life of moral uprightness. John 3:21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. It is the character of your life manifesting a life that has been touched by the power of God. Are people blessed in dealing with you? Or do they feel burned? Do they feel taken across? Do they feel like they just dealt with somebody who just took them across? I hope not. How does integrity indeed become practical? I have 10 points here. I'm just going to give them quickly to you. Integrity indeed. I do not compromise truth for relationship. I stand by truth. I do not compromise truth for relationship. I keep my word and follow through with my commitments. And if I cannot keep my commitment, I'm on the phone or I'm messaging and I'm talking about it to the person who I need to be committed to. I relate to all with respect and dignity. I'm not partial. I relate to all in the same manner. I refrain from participation in employment practices that require me to be dishonest and illegal. I refrain from participating in employment practices that require me to be dishonest and illegal. Dealing with a customer in Canada told me one day, within the last 2 weeks, he said, "I checked today and there's no tariff on these parts coming into Canada. I need the invoice to show that these parts shipped today. So I don't care when the parts ship, but I need the invoice to be made out today that shows that the parts shipped today." And my conscience went, whoop. Okay, well, that's fairly innocent. I could do that. Now that doesn't seem right. Well, fortunately, the parts were able to ship that day, and I could process the invoice for that day. I welcome accountability and do not hedge. Accountability is helpful to the degree of which a person is honest. Accountability is helpful to the degree of which a person is honest. I take personal responsibility for actions and do not shift the blame. I bear the blame. I provide things honest in the sight of all men. Pretty simple one, but my scales is accurate. My scales is accurate. If I'm a dairy farmer, I don't put 20 gallons of water in the milk tank just to get more gallons of milk. When I worked at the farm years ago, the milkman, I don't know if he was having a bad day one day or if my boss was guilty of this. I don't know that he was. But he blew off one day about these farmers who put a bunch of extra water in the tank so they get more milk. These things test us. Contentment is a friend of integrity. Therefore, be content with such things as ye have. And number 10, I choose integrity even in the face of financial pain and loss. I choose integrity. One of the questions I ask customers comes up different times as I'm preparing their invoices, if they pay tax, if this is taxable. And it is interesting to hear the different responses at times. Oftentimes people are crystal clear. Yes, this is taxable. Wish it wasn't, but yes, it is. And then there are those like, Does my remaining silent about an obligation of mine give excuse to overlook its existence? Does my remaining silent about an obligation of mine excuse to overlook the existence? What if the vendor forgot to charge you? What if McDonald's forgot to charge you for your Big Mac? I hope that every one of us will go back to McDonald's and say, "You forgot to charge me for the Big Mac." Some time ago, we ate at Cracker Barrel. We had 2 gift cards for Cracker Barrel. We got home, my wife said, "I think that I gave them the other card that was not even close to the total of the bill." Because the person at the cashier, she asked me about it anyway. It was so much so that I said, "Well, I need to call them." And I'm not saying this to hold myself up. I need to call them. So whenever it was a couple days later, I called them, talked to the manager there, and I told him what happened. He said nothing was reported that we were off, but he said, "You'd be surprised how often that happens." And he thanked me for calling, and everything was okay. But where we know of things like that, or we think it might be, I hope that we don't say, well, it's their tough going, I got my thing. The fruit of integrity, quickly. The fruit of integrity, a life of integrity. And I understand, this challenges us, this meets us in different ways. Number one, the fruit. What are the apples hanging on the tree? The fruit of integrity. Integrity builds trust. Trust is truth over time. The little boy who got the job at the hardware store got the job at the hardware store because he did not stick the money in the bottom of the nail bin in his pocket and leave the day he was having his interview. He got the job because he was honest and said, boss, I found this in the bottom of the nail bin. Integrity builds relationship. Relationships are built through mutual trust and commitment. Integrity empowers forward progress. Forward progress. Achan's sin hindered forward progress. The things hidden in his tent caused problems. It was in removing the possession of the forbidden and repentance that progress could continue. Integrity builds reliability. Integrity builds fairness. Integrity honors God. Proverbs 12:22b, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Romans 22:15 tells us that whosoever loveth and maketh a lie will be among, Revelation 22:15. Those that love and make a lie will be among the company of those who do not have right to the tree of life, nor do they have access into the city, the eternal dwelling place of God and the redeemed. Number seven, integrity is instilled in the next generation as they witness its outworking in the lives of those that they admire, their parents. Integrity is instilled in the next generation. I want to read in closing an account of Menno Bici, the chorus director of the Mountain Anthems. We'll close after this. Honesty delights the Lord. God delights in seeing honesty practice. Menno Bici, director of the Mountain Anthems, has written in his life story in a book entitled Grace Enough for My Life's Journey. It contains the account of his father leaving home when Menno was a little boy. His mother had to go to work to support her four children. She kept assuring them, yes, Dad will come back someday. Menno stayed with his grandparents, who had planned to retire. Instead of retiring, they inherited four grandchildren, ranging in age from 4 weeks to 5 years. Menno writes about his godly grandfather and how he assumed the debt load of his parents' farm. He mentions a learning experience with his grandfather. He says, Grandpa was an honest and upright man. Grandpa purchased wheat from his son-in-law to feed his chickens. There was the kind of trust between the two men that allowed Grandpa to sack his own wheat. Do you know that there are people who do not allow other people to sack their own wheat because they don't trust them? Well, in terms. Maybe even within family. Menno helped his grandfather, probably holding the sack as Grandpa poured in the wheat. He'll take special notice to what's happening as Grandpa and his little grandson measure the grain and pour it into the feed sack. Menno wrote, I watched him level the half bushel measure with a board instead of rounding it full. He was not aware of the lesson of honesty that was coming through. So what? That was just a little incident in life. It would not have hurt to round it off a little, right? Get the picture here. Grandpa and his little grandson sacking wheat. Little Menno's inquisitive eyes watch as Grandpa levels off the wheat. According to Proverbs 14:3, the eyes of the Lord are watching too. As the eyes of the Lord look on, God is delighted. This brought delight to the God of heaven and earth. A just weight is his delight. What Grandpa Meadow didn't realize was that right there, by the grain bin on a farm in western Maryland, a worship of God was taking place. God was delighted and worshiped as he watched Grandpa follow honest measurements, and in the process, he was teaching a little boy the way of godliness. I say, one of the fruits of integrity is that we teach it to the rising generation, and they learn. More is caught than taught. And let us be those who, without a shadow of a doubt, give a clear, sounding sound that we are people of integrity. Let us kneel to pray.